All right, so before I start my message, let's just dwell a little bit on the word that Amanda brought. So change is coming. Be ready. Open to the new. So if God's speaking to us and he says change is coming, let's just say, you know, what is it? And let's be ready. And I like what she's saying is about draw close, which is about a relationship to the Father, a child-father relationship, which is exactly what I'm going to be speaking about. Don't be deceived. Look. So it really ties in with the message that I want to bring this morning. And we're going to move into the message right now. So I'm going to ask you just to turn to your Bibles. I'm going to be reading quite a bit of scriptures today. And we're going to be listening to what the Lord is saying. So I'm going to read a scripture and then we're going to go into it and we're going to delve into it. All right, so I'm going to just open Colossians 1, verse 9 to 14. I'm going to be reading this one, New King James Version. The rest of the scriptures I'm going to be reading from the ESV. So this is Paul's prayer to the Colossians. He says, "For this very reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." To pray for you. For what? "And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will." So yeah, Paul, he understood how to grow people, how to mature people. And he says, "I pray that you are filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So here are keys on what will change us and help us grow. That, why? There's a purpose for this. "That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord." So what are we doing? We're not just going about our work. We are going about a walk that is worthy, that has purpose to our Lord. Fully pleasing him. That's quite amazing. We don't partly please him or sometimes please him. It is possible to fully please him. Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. So this is one of our purposes. We are increasingly coming into immediately, but our whole process is now to grow, to please the Father, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified me and you. The Father has qualified us to be partakers of this amazing inheritance. We've got something to look forward to. We've got an inheritance that we are entering into. And we need to grab hold of it. We need to be looking for it. And we need to be persevering into it. It's an inheritance with the saints in the light. He, God, has delivered us. He's delivered us, me and you, from the power of darkness. Darkness has power. He doesn't just say from darkness. He says from the power, from the traps, from the deceit, from what this world, this darkness wants to draw us into. There's a power in that. We've been delivered from it. And translated, removed, translated into the kingdom of his son whom he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So here we see this salvation, this wonderful thing that we've entered into is so rich and full. We have a purpose. We have a purpose in Christ towards God. But sometimes we can lose sight of this purpose. Sometimes we get caught up in our calls or our ministries or general church life or routines, even caught up in the things of this world. But we need to refocus each other. We need to grab hold of each other and say, hey, there's something real. We've got a purpose. We are changed. We've been translated. We've been removed. We've come into an inheritance. See, God's purpose for us, there's a purpose for us. And what is this purpose? What is this purpose? Why did God save us? Why did he send Jesus into this world? Okay, the purpose is that we have a relationship with him exactly the same as his relationship is with his son, Jesus Christ. That is the key. So here we are, seeing a relationship of the Son and the Father, We watch Jesus and see how he related to the Father and how the Father related to the Son, and he's saying, I want that exact same relationship with you. You see, sometimes we sideline ourselves. We are not Jesus, but we come into the same inheritance and call and relationship as Jesus had with the Father. Exactly the same. So, Father-child relationship. And we need to pursue this, and we need to change so that we can have this relationship. But you see, we need to know how to come into this relationship. We know with relationships, they're different. You've got to work them out. Well, how do we come into this perfect relationship with the Father? John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the key. To know Jesus is to know our relationship with the Father. We believe in him, we receive him, but we must imitate him. There's an exchange, our lives for the life of Jesus. We need to walk as Jesus walked. Jesus says, I am the way. As you walk and watch, he is the pattern son. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. What does that mean? That means I don't change into Jesus, but what I do is I look at Jesus' life and I apply that pattern of his lifestyle to mine. I watch what he did, how he did it, how he spoke, his relationships, and I pattern life exactly as he did. So therefore, we study his life. That is what these scriptures are all about. It's not just scriptures. They're not just to learn, to repeat off by heart. It's a study of Jesus' life so that we can apply it to our own. So we study his life and we follow him in every way, also knowing that we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus do it? Through the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on him. And then the Father said, this is my Son in whom am I well pleased. We have that same Holy Spirit that Jesus had to help us come into this Father-child relationship. There must be a change in our lives. We need to be reborn. The old has gone and the new has come. So there's a change in our lives. But the thing is, there's going to be a continual change. So we are redeemed immediately, but now there's this continual working out of our salvation. There needs to be a continual change, a continual transformation as we renew our minds and attain, after this, perfection of Christ. Now, perfection, when you read in the word, if you go to the Greek word, it's not to be perfect, because we can't be perfect, it's to mature. So we grow from infants, from babies, we grow from being a baby into a teenager, into parents. From being dependent and then independent to being interdependent. We grow, we mature into Christ. But how do we do it? By following the example of Jesus. By setting our own agendas aside and following him. Ephesians 4:11-24. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So there's a purpose that we've got the gifts, as to equip the saints, me and you, we the saints, for the works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, for growing, for maturing, until, here's the key, until we all attain, there's a purpose for this, the unity of the faith. So we all got to attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. We are growing. We are maturing. No matter what age we are, in the spiritual realm, we need to grow up and mature. To what? To be have a good call, to have a good church, to be a good person, to run a good ministry. That's not what the word says. It says to what? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our purpose. to grow into Christ. Why? So that we can have this father-child relationship. God loves us. He gave His Son for us. Jesus is making a place for us in the Father's house so that He can come and take us there. But right now, the Father wants us to have this mature relationship that He had with Jesus. To what measure? To the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, sometimes we settle for this or we settle for that. We cannot settle. We need to continue to grow and to mature. Why? So that we are no longer children, tossed to and fro by every wave and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Oh, did you hear this? This is happening. Have you heard that the vaccines, the 666, or if we are grounded in doctrine, we know exactly when the mark of the beast will be introduced. We'll know doctrine. We'll know our relationship with the Father. We'll know who He is. We'll be secure, and we won't be scared. We won't be fearful. This world will not take us off and take us into false doctrines. Warriors, we will not be deceived. By every cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Do you know that this world, Satan is taking this world and trying to deceive us, trying to rob us of our relationship with the Father by cunning schemes, by deceitful craftiness ways, by news, by media. Why? To break our relationship. But not if we find it in Jesus Christ, not if our eyes are fixed on Him, not if we know this word, nothing will shake us. Nothing will throw us up. We know the word. We know what's going to happen. We know when things will introduce. We know what we can allow. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. We are to grow up. We can't stay children. In every way, not in some ways, in every way, into Him who is the head, into Christ, the word says. Fixed on Him, focused on Him, studying Him. It's all about Him. Learn Him, we'll learn God. Jesus said, you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, taking part, working properly. You see, this is why together we each got to have our own part, working together properly. Not coming against each other, not being immature, but growing up, working together as each part, which makes the body grow, that it builds itself up in love. That's why we got elders, that's why we got deacons, that's why we got leaders, that's why we come together, that's why we got prayer meetings, that's why we got teachers. We're building each other up. Why? So that we are not shaken, so that we grow up, so that we mature. Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. And as I'm speaking to you, and as I'm speaking to you, and as I've been speaking to myself through this, as the Lord's been ministering to me, we need to check ourselves. Do I sometimes walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds? Futility means lack of purpose or lack of usefulness. Darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. You see, that kind of behavior alienates us from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Now, we were like that. We sometimes like that. Sometimes we're ignorant. Sometimes we harden our hearts. But it says, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, to greed, to practice of every kind of purity. Me, me, me. My comfort, I. No, it's Jesus. I do, I go, I serve, I give. Because it says, but that is not the way you learned Christ. It says there, learned Christ. Problem is we're learning doctrines, we're learning maybe churches' goals and ambitions, and we're learning so many other things. You learn Christ. That's what we want to do, learn Christ. And as you say, assuming that you heard about Him. I can tell you, I've watched TV and I've heard lots of sermons and I don't hear Him. I don't hear Jesus. I hear a lot of puffed up people preaching about their good works and their power and their gifts. I don't hear Him. They must preach Jesus and teach me Jesus and tell me how to apply Jesus. Not how good they are and how they can speak this and all these things that you hear on TV. He says, put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and which is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God. put only on what is after the likeness of God, and Jesus Christ is our pattern son. You see Jesus, you see God. The disciples said to Jesus, show us the Father. He said, have I been with you so long? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And it goes on to say, in true righteousness and holiness. So now, sorry, that was my intro. Now I'm getting into the message. How do we do this? How do we do this? You know, it's very well for me to say this, and I ask the Lord, it's very well that I read this, but how do we do this? So I believe God showed me a practical way, how we can attain this and how we can apply some easy principles to our lives so that we can measure up and express this growth that God is asking us for, that we can mature, that we don't run off the false doctrine, spend so much energy getting lost. It looks like it's biblical, it looks like it's sound, but it's not. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. So, I was at my daughter's and my son-in-law's place. I visit there often. They got a beautiful place in Cape Town, in a place called Kelderhof. It's a life village, what do you call them, lifestyle village. It's beautiful. Your people walk around there. They've got parks and a swimming pool and that. And when I'm there, I always see this father walking around, and he's got his child. I'm not sure if it's a son or daughter, but he's got his child on his back. He's got a hat on. This child's got a hat on, and he walks with so much purpose. And I see him every day. Every time I go visit them, I can look and I'll see him. Sometime of the day, he'll be out walking with his son on his back, and he's walking and he's upright and he's proud and he's going on. And I'll tell you a little bit more about it. But I'll watch him, and one day I sometimes drive around and I see him over there, or sometimes we're going for a walk and I'll see him. And this day I was standing in my daughter's front garden and I saw him, and he was walking past. And I said to the Lord, you know, what is it? What is it? Something stands out about this person. What is it? And I believe, just as I was standing there, the Holy Spirit just dropped four things into my heart. And I believe, I said, you know, the Holy Spirit said to me, what he has, you need. He's got a good child-father relationship. And if you want the same relationship with the father as he has with his son, this father or child relationship, I'm going to show you four things. I was standing there. And as I watched him past, and this is what the Holy Spirit shared with me. He gave me A, B, C, D. So this message is growing into Christ with A, B, C, D. Growing into Christ. And the first thing he showed me was attitude. Attitude. Write that down. Attitude. This father had a good attitude. I could see him. He walked every day. He was smiling. He was upright. He had purpose. He was happy. He greeted people. He was talking to his child. I could see him talking. He was passing things to him. He was giving on. He had such an attitude, and that was one of the things that stood out. When I looked at him, I said, Lord, what is it about this man? He had a good attitude, a right attitude. And we choose daily what attitude to put on. And I ask you, let's check our attitudes. You know, sometimes things change. I'm talking about your attitude that you generally put on. See, there's the fallen default bad attitude that we inherited when we were born. Or there's the new Christ attitude that we need to put on. And the more we wear this attitude, the more it becomes our nature and our character. But we need to learn good attitude. Do you know that we have to learn attitude? We need to choose daily what attitude to put on. The definition of attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. A settled way. If we're not thinking about it or not choosing it, that settled attitude will come out. Two people, same situation. One will have a good attitude towards it. The other one will have a bad attitude. Why? Oh, that's the way he was born. No. It's he's chosen to have a good attitude or a bad attitude, because we are new creations in Christ and we can choose it. You know, have you seen some Christians? How are you? Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, is it everything good? Ugh, not really, you know. Yeah, as a Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, got a you know, this inheritance waiting for him, knowing Jesus, the words of life, knowing the way and the truth, and he's got a bad attitude. And we're supposed to follow this attitude of Jesus. We need to be happy Christians. We need to be alive Christians. We need to be alive Christians. Proverbs 17, 20 says, 22. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. Listen to this. If you are sick and you are hurting and you're going to the doctor often and you're needing medication, listen to this proverb. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. What this tells me is an attitude can change your health, can make you feel better. It can lift you up. It can change you physically. And we run to doctors with our bad attitudes to give them tablets to try and change us. Where the Word of God, Jesus, follow Jesus, put on Jesus, says, put on a joyful heart. Because it's good medicine. Philippians 2, verse 14 to 15 says, do all things, some things, only when you're at church, only when you're talking to your wife, only when you're at your job, speaking to your boss. No, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Follow Jesus. This is following Jesus. This is putting on Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. How many of us are grumbling and disputing? We're not following Jesus. We're following other things, maybe. We're following maybe something else we were taught. We're not following Jesus. It says that, listen to this. This is incredible. Just these two, grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, the word says. Blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights. World. And the amazing thing is, you know, we've got righteousness. We've got the Jesus of righteousness instantly when we receive Him. We are saved and we reconcile to the Father. But the world doesn't know that. They have to see our attitude. The problem is we believe we're saved and we walk with Jesus, but we've got bad attitudes, grumbling and disputing, and yet we're called to be the light. Jesus said, stop grumbling, stop disputing. In all things, have a proper attitude. Jesus. How do we be the light? Stop grumbling. Stop disputing. Have a good attitude. How's your attitude? We put a smile. Yeah, I'll do that. But inside, we're grumbling and we're disputing. God sees that. Not a good attitude. Who are you following? Who are you plugged into? John 15 said, He is the vine and we the branches. And if you're not plugged into Him, you can't have a good attitude because He is the way. Plug into Jesus. Say, Jesus, if you did it, I will do it. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, to be like Jesus. Give me a good attitude. I'll choose to have a good attitude. An example, Colossians 3, verse 18 to 24. Here are some attitudes from the Bible. Not from me, from Jesus, inspired through the Word. Wives, submit to your husbands. It is fitting in the Lord. Yeah, but submit is this. No, the Word says submit to your husbands. We'll do a teaching on that maybe sometimes. We'll expand on what that means. He has the attitude, the Word says so. But then it goes on to say, husbands, love your wives. Because I'm telling you, if you love them, they'll submit to you. And do not be harsh with them. He has attitudes. This is some examples. I don't know what we taught, but this is what the Word says. We need to follow Jesus. Put on Jesus. Children, obey your parents in everything. We need to be reminding our children about this. Reminding of the Word. Reminding of what Jesus tells us. Fathers, do not provoke your children. That's why there's so much drinking out there and beating and child abuse. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants or employees, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, without what? Grumbling or disputing. Not by way of our service as man pleases, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And here it is, whatever you do, work heartily for the Lord and not for men. Because that is how you put on a good attitude. The problem is when we think we're doing it for man, we get a bad attitude and we grumble and dispute. But when we realize we're doing it for God, because of Jesus, we can put on a good attitude. Who are you doing all these things for? Who are you working for? Why are we coming here? Why are we going there? Why are we serving? Why are we helping? Because we do it for God. knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says here. Okay, so that's A, attitude. B, believe. Believe. We need to believe what we believe in this word. We need to believe what we see in Jesus. Some of us are doubting. We're not sure. You need to believe. Jesus believed what he was doing. He believed in his Father. There was the other thing. When I saw this guy walking, he believed in what he was doing. I could see every day. He believed it was good for him. He believed it was good for his child. It used to be, it was raining. I saw him with a raincoat on. It was sunny, hats, covers. That what he was doing was good. It had a purpose. We need to believe. The definition is to accept something that is true, especially without proof. How many of us are still trying to prove that Jesus is real, or the word is real, or what we're doing is real? That's not what believing, our belief. Faith is the assurance of things seeing, the evidence of, the assurance of things we hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We believe the good news and everything about Jesus. He has done it, he's doing it. He's preparing it. We fully believe. See, we often do things without seeing results, but we must believe that it is good because God said so. I preached the other week where that guy was on the plane and he had no word from God, nothing, but he believed that the Holy Spirit was with him. Are you convinced of the word? And I'm asking you, some of us are maybe still curious. Some of us are still in the crowds. I can tell you, you need to ask God to convince you, and you need to accept it and take it. It's something that we take, that we receive, and as we receive it, it becomes part of us. The Holy Spirit puts it into our hearts. We need to be convinced and sure of this walk that we're walking in. You need to be convinced of Jesus. You need to be convinced that when you go, you're going to be with him. That everything you're doing here is for him, and there will be a reward. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." Here's one of our relationships with God. We wonder why our relationship is wavering, or there's a hindrance in my relationship because you have to have faith. This attitude, this believing, I believe in God. You see, it didn't hinder Jesus' relationship with God because he believed. For whoever would, and we heard it through Amanda's word, draw near to God, must believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. We do all things unto him because we believe in him and in his presence and in what he's doing. So sometimes we forget why we are persevering, why we're doing the things we're doing. It's because we believe. It's because Jesus said so, because it's in the word. And we need to be devouring this word of God, not to make us look clever, not for worldly knowledge, but to increase our faith in the knowledge of who Jesus is. When you seek these scriptures, it's so that we can find Jesus. Look for his relationship with the Father. Look for his relationship with the world so that we can apply it to ourselves. Because Romans 10:17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." We need to be reading this word. I ask you now, what's next to your bed? What are you reading? It's good to read other things, but is this, are you reading this more than anything else? Because this is where faith comes in. Those other things lead us astray. Those other things sow doubt. I can tell you, even, I'll say, we read even well-known pastors, whatever, that send out books. You know, read them, but go back to the word. Ground it back in the word. Because if you're only reading one person, following one person, and if they've got just one little fault in there, it's going to lead you astray. It's going to sow doubt. Yeah, there's no doubt in this. This is the word. This is the truth. This is the life. Jesus. It's not to study, it's not the study of scripture that changes us, but the study of Jesus. Okay, it's in there. It said we are to study Jesus. We are to change. It's not the study of scripture. It's to find Jesus in the scriptures and apply it that changes us. His nature, his life, his purpose, his relationship with the Father. So that's B, believe. C, consistency. Consistency. Be consistent. Consistency is being trustworthy, being reliable, being faithful. I saw this guy every day, this father walking with his child. Do you know that I could have taken a bet I know we're not supposed to bet as Christians. I could have taken a bet. I could have said, Thora, I'll take you out for lunch if we don't see this guy walking today. That's how consistent this father was. Like Jesus, consistent. You can bet your life on him. And we do. We give our life to him because he's consistent. So many children of God are inconsistent. Up one day, down another, tossed to and fro by everything this world throws at it, all its different schemes, full of faith one day, next day full of doubt. One day, sure of himself, another day, questioning things. We can question certain things, and we should be doing that as we're growing, but not the foundations of what we believe, not Jesus Christ, who he is, why he came here, what he's done for us. We don't question those things. The things that are in the Word, that truth has been come to us, we cannot question those things. What we do is we know it, and then somebody comes with some great idea, and we actually doubt, and we run off after that. Go back to the Word. Be consistent. The definition is being reliable and accurate. Do you know that? Consistency means being reliable and accurate. If somebody is consistent, you can rely on him. You know, I can phone him. I'm not going to phone somebody who's inconsistent because he's not going to pitch up. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. How many of us as Christians waver? Ooh, you know, I'm not too sure. I don't know if I should do this. I'm not sure if the Word does this. You know what? I wonder what Jesus would do. No, we know. The truth is, yeah, apply it. Put on that attitude. Believe. Be consistent. Because he who promised is faithful. And Philippians 1, verse 27 and 28 says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Our life must be worthy. The world is watching us. And we want to fill this place. We want to preach the gospel through, I don't know how. But when you've got a worthy, consistent life, the world will be attracted to that. And they'll follow you to Jesus. So that whether I come and see you, this is Paul speaking to the Philippians, whether I'm there, whether I come and see you, or I'm absent, I may hear that you're standing firm in one spirit. You're consistent, with one mind, striving side by side for the gospel. Satan wants to divide us. Satan comes because when he can divide us, it makes inconsistent, unreliable, unfaithful Christians. And then it goes on to say in verse 28, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. We've got opponents coming to divide us, making us inconsistent, taking us away from the Word. We've got opponents out there working against us. This is a clear sign to them. Listen to this. Your consistency, standing firm, is a clear sign to the world of their destruction, but of salvation, and that from God. Did you know that? And their destruction means that they'll come to God. How can we lead people to God when we are inconsistent? When we're unreliable and untrustworthy? Yes, I'll come to your house tomorrow. Sorry, you forget to phone. Can we do it another time? Consistency. Jesus was consistent. We need to choose to be consistent. Coming to church, yes, that's been consistent. Why? Because we're learning Christ, prayer meetings, visiting, being hospitality, being reliable. No one puts their faith and takes seriously someone who is inconsistent. I'll tell you a story, even like timekeeping. Do you know that you set your standards against somebody else by their consistency? It's funny. When I invite somebody over, if that person is always on time, or if I'm going to visit them, and when they come to me, they're always on time, do you know that I'll be on time to their house? Because I know it's a value. I know it's important to them. So that's the standard. But somebody that's always late comes 10, 15, 20 minutes late to my house. You know what? It's funny. When I go to their house, I don't think it's even important getting there on time. It's so true. Somebody that dresses up smartly, I'm just using this as an example, dresses up smartly, comes to your house, comes with a gift. When you go to their house, you'll do exactly the same. Somebody that's sloppy like this, you'll say, we're only going to that person. I'm wearing my slops and my shorts because that's how they dress. They measure us by that, and we measure each other by this consistency. That's why consistency is so important. The world watches us. Be on time. Be consistent. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no, because that is how they will relate to you and treat you. Jesus never failed anyone. His promise was his promise. His consistency was his consistency. He went to the cross for you and I. Let's be consistent Christians. And number four, D, disciplined. We got to be disciplined. This is hard and tough, but we need it. Discipline is self-control. We will never attain to the relationship that Jesus had with the Father without putting discipline into our lives. Why? This Father that I saw walking was so disciplined. Like I say, I saw him every day. He had his son covered. He was covered. He was walking, disciplined. He had a set routine. He walked the same way every day. He had his sun cream on, disciplined. I could see. I was captivated by this man, man. He had sunning. And I thought, as Christians, we need this. And these are the four things that he had that we need to put on. Discipline is a huge factor in our relationship with our Father. We see a disciplined lifestyle as we study Jesus. This Jesus, study Jesus, a disciplined lifestyle. Disciplined. I want to be like Jesus. I want a relationship like Jesus. You need to be disciplined. I want to be effective. Go into this world and you'll do more than I did. Well, you're going to be as disciplined as Jesus was. See, we're set free from the law, but we need to clothe ourselves with order through discipline, through formulas, routines, non-negotiables. You need to start setting non-negotiables in your life. No, I won't do that. I'm going to say no to that because I need to discipline my life after Jesus, following Jesus. It takes discipline. It takes yes to him and no to other things. Many religions are effective through their discipline. You know that? But they don't have Jesus. But because of their discipline. But yet the source of that discipline actually comes from Jesus. We've got the source, the true source of discipline, of this power. Here's a definition of discipline. It is defined as a field of study or is training to fix incorrect behavior or create better skills. If you think your behavior doesn't need fixing or you don't think you need better skills, well, then you're not reading your word because it says none of us have attained to the perfection of God. We need to correct our incorrect behavior through discipline. D, discipline. You can become more like Christ without this discipline. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. It says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. No, but I got to do this. No, but first I must do this. I'll come tomorrow, and I'm not going today. But Jesus is there. His people are going to be there. The body is there. You know what? I've got the... You're not living a life of sacrifice. You're not disciplined. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Which is your spiritual worship. And I think the New King James says, which is your reasonable service. Not astounding. It says reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing, this world is testing us. These cunning people, these deceitful people that Satan are testing us to see if we're disciplined in this area. That you may discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Discipline requires planning, guys. You're not going to have discipline unless you're planning, unless you're putting things, unless you're setting these non-negotiables. Unless you're setting your mind to it, putting in routines, even when you don't feel like it. The word says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So our spirit says yes, but our flesh is weak. It wants to do other things. We need to discipline this flesh. We need to train our flesh to submit to our will. That's why we fast. That's why we commit. That's why we hold each other accountable. It's easier to do it if we do it together, because this edifies the body. We know those that are athletes and that, it's easier to do it in a group than to do it on your own. Because when you're on your own, it's easy to lie in bed and say, the only person I'm disappointing is myself. But when you do it in a group, you're letting down the whole group. The body of Christ, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. We need to incorporate all of us. Let's do things together. That's why we gather. That's why we group. That's why we got families. It's a lot easier when we do it together. It helps us. We help each other be disciplined. The more you submit yourself to these disciplines, the more the body eventually craves it and transforms to it. You'll know. The more you do it, the more the body eventually craves it and the easier it is to do it. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all runners run? We're running a race, not against each other, against ourselves in this world that's trying to deceive us. But only one receives the prize. Are you going to receive the prize or is this world going to receive the prize? We need to win the prize. So run that you may obtain it. This is Paul, very disciplined man, In 1 Corinthians, every athlete exercises self-control. In all things, they do it to receive a perishable wreath. Our medals, they burn up, they go. But we, an imperishable, we will receive the crown of life. We're doing it for purpose, for everlasting, for eternity. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body, Paul says. I discipline my body and keep it under control. Yes, Paul, yes, Jesus had to discipline their bodies and keep it under control. He was tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he was disciplined and he kept his body under control. Lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. How many of us don't live a life that we preach because we're not disciplined? We need to be preaching and living what we preach. And discipline is in the area to change. You see, we can say, well, I'm disciplined in that area. I'm disciplined at going out there. But is that for Jesus or is that for yourself? Is that for the world? I'm talking about things in your life that are not fully given to Jesus. You need to discipline those areas of our life. Yeah, I'm a disciplined person. Yeah, you're disciplined at getting up, going to gym, going to the bar, going there. That's not discipline that pleases the Father. I'm talking about discipline your bodies to things that please the Father. Disciplines change as we mature. So we set in new plans, because as we discipline ourselves, we overcome them. We have victory in that area. Then we set in new disciplines. So, in closing, let's be honest and ask ourselves, are we falling short in any of these areas? A, B, C, attitude, belief, consistency, and discipline. Let's ask ourselves, because if we fully believe this word and we want to attain to this relationship that Jesus had with the Father, we need to implement these four principles. I just want to reflect quickly back on Christ and the disciples as far as these four ABCDs go. In Matthew 26, verse 36 to 44, listen to this. It says, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the place of the olive press. So on the Mount of Olives, there was an olive press there. And he said to his disciples, sit here, Jesus, to his disciples, sit here whilst I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, who was that? Who's the two sons of Zebedee? James and John. As with his inner three, his close three disciples that he took to a lot of places with him. Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled. Jesus, oh, but Jesus is perfect. Listen, he didn't sin, yet he had emotions just like you and I, but watch how disciplined, watch his attitude, watch what he believed, watch his consistency. He became sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful even to death. Have you ever been so sorrowful even to death? Well, people do, they take their lives. Jesus was sorrowful even to death. He said, remain here and watch with me. Please help me. I need you to be praying for me. Pray to the Father to give me strength. Watch with me. Stay here. I need you. I'm going over there. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, in the midst of being sorrowful and troubled unto death, he said, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. I'm sorrowful. I'm troubled unto death. Take it from me if it's possible, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, Jesus had the right attitude. He believed in the Father. He was consistent in everything he did, and he was disciplined, that body of his. He brought under self-control. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, Father. What an attitude. And he came back to the disciples and gave the intensity of this moment. They weren't consistent in this thing and definitely not disciplined. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Please, 1 hour, I need you. Please, can't you watch with me? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. I'm not just asking you, there's a reason that you don't enter into temptation. And disciplined. The spirit indeed is willing, but flesh is weak. Your spirit is fulfilled. Jesus has given us everything, but we need to discipline this body of ours, this flesh We need to keep it under self-control. And then again, for the second time, he went and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done." You see, he went to the Father, he focused on him. He brought all these ABCDs into consistency. And again he came. And again he found him sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them, again, a third time, look at this discipline. Look at this consistency. Look at this attitude. Look at this belief in the Father. He went again, third time, and he prayed, saying the same words again. So I want to leave with you this morning, A, B, C, D. Look at this A, B, C, D. Apply it to your life. Because if you are serious about this and want a real relationship as Jesus had with the Father, this will help you to do it. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for these amazing words. Lord God, we thank you that you sent Jesus Christ here to this earth to die for us, to be buried, and that he rose again, so that through him we can have everlasting life. But not only everlasting life, that we can share in a relationship exactly as you and your son Jesus Christ shared whilst here on earth. We can pray the same way. We can be effective the same way. We can influence the same way. We can overcome the same way. And we can be pleasing to you the same way. Father, today we ask, help us by your Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had that raised him from the dead. May your Holy Spirit empower us and fill us and move us to put in these four principles. Our attitude, may our attitudes be changed. May we believe in you and be convinced. May we be consistent. May our yes be yes and our no be no. And may we be disciplined, self-controlled, so that we may attain to this measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for those on YouTube.